Bienvenidos y welcome back.
We made it to episode 4.
If you listened to the entirety of episode 3, thank you so much.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a marathon. And shout out to Carolyn for being our very overworked and underpaid producer.
You know, it's a miracle what you can do with PowerPoint and iMovie and GarageBand.
A whole podcast?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so...
And voice notes. Shout out to voice notes.
Oh, okay. As you can tell, Sarah is the logistics producer and marketing, not the actual operations.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering how we split the responsibility. But anyway, we're here for album 4, finally.
Yeah, this podcast, ya mero no iba a salir.
I know. But this one is las que no iban a salir. The ones that almost did not come out.
But they did.
They did.
And I like them.
Well, okay, so he released this just a little over 2 months after Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana. So, well, okay, I mean, time moved a little bit differently in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And this came out on Mother's Day in 2020. And
just what my mother's always wanted.
I know, my mom was deeply unaware, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it was not a long wait at all. And I mean, people were surprised, as he tends to do. He loves to do his little surprise drop.
Yeah. I mean, 2 months in the Picklepalooza, that was either like, it felt like 7 years, or it felt like 3 seconds, you know?
Yeah, well, and I mean, May of 2020, it was still early dark times. So yeah,
we were all like, ooh, banana bread.
Oh God, not the banana bread. I forgot about that. But yeah, no, I mean, like, people were surprised. And I think, again, this was a little bit of a bright spot during everything that was going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I don't think we have to get too deep. It's not too different from what was happening charts-wise, but you've got Travis Scott, Kid Cudi up mm-hmm. there. We've got The Weeknd with Blinding Lights. Oh, Tootsie Slide.
They go right foot up, left foot slide.
I remember that. I remember when that came out. Say So by Doja Cat, Don't Start Now, Dua Lipa. The Bones by Maren Morris, and Billie Eilish's Everything I Wanted.
So it's really a lot of the same stuff that we've been seeing. But the exception being that now you're getting songs from Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana also on the chart.
Yes, because you've got Yo Perreo Sola at number 62, and then Safaera like just sneaking in at 100 on the Billboard Hot 100 for that week anyway. And his other bestie, J Balvin, also on there at number 29.
They are besties. We don't care what anyone says.
We'll unpack that once we get to Nadia Sabe. Can you tell what came out this week? Production never stops, guys.
Again, the other brown representation on the charts is J Balvin and Camila Cabello.
Yes, with My Oh My. So he likes a good time. At number 13, so, you know, not too bad. But nobody's really dominating quite just yet.
It's a different landscape than we saw, like, 2-3 albums ago.
Right, right. And, I mean, he said that his sole aim for this album was to entertain the fans. I mean, we're all sitting locked in our houses, like, crying. I hate this house, get me out of here.
I hate this house. It's been a while since I've said that.
Yeah. Oh, it's really bringing everything back. And I don't know if that's a good thing. But he said it himself. He was like, I just thought, damn, what people really need is entertainment. And he was right. You know, we're consuming 700 hours of television a day from your couch. But other than that, you know, what else did we have going on besides, like, Zoom happy hours that nobody really wanted to attend?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the specific origins of all of this material is a little vague. I couldn't find anything that pinpointed it Although most of the stuff that I read just sort of said that the tracks, like, stemmed from his Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana sessions and sort of developed from there. That he, like, had the tracks, he sent them out to his collaborators, and they sent them back. He threw his verses on there, and thus the album was born.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. When people are creating albums, they write so many songs for the albums, and some of them are left on the cutting room floor. So this is, it's really like his Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana Platinum Edition, or...
These are his vault tracks.
His vault tracks, yeah.
And okay, so before this, because we know he loves to sort of give a little bit of a build-up, he teased them in an Instagram Live in early May, and he had, like, hundreds of thousands of viewers on it. I think at one point it was at 250,000 viewers.
Again, which very reminiscent of the time.
Is insane. I think the height, I think I read somewhere, was, like, 320,000, so... quite the audience. Mm-hmm. And he was just, like, at home. He was, like, singing into, I think, a wooden spoon. And, like, playing all of these snippets. So people were, like, freaking out. They were like, oh my god, something's coming, something's coming. But I don't think anybody imagined that it was going to be quite so soon.
No, and quite so put together. But yeah, no, it's really funny watching the clips from that Instagram Live that he did. It's giving your parents on FaceTime. Like you're, he's singing and rapping and you're looking at the boogers up his nose, you know?
No, not the boogers. Bad Bunny no tiene mocos.
Okay, fine, the nose hairs.
Fine.
So once this album did come out, it did pretty well. It debuted at number 7 on the US Billboard 200. It was his third top 10 album in less than a year. And when it debuted, it was in the top 10 the same week as Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana.
Mm.
And Las Que No Iban A Salir replaced Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana on the chart. And he's become one of the very few artists to do that little switcheroo on the charts.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it debuted at number 1 on the US Billboard Latin albums, and simultaneously he held the numbers 1, 2, and 3 spots on the top Latin albums chart, becoming the first artist to do that since Juan Gabriel died.
He's having a big moment right now, and the proximity in which all the albums are coming out, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, and this was the 5th best-selling Latin album of 2020 in the US, so it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Especially for something that is so homemade. Like, this album is casero.
Yeah. It's very reminiscent of his SoundCloud days.
And I think a lot of that is because, I mean, he said it himself. He was like, I recorded this on my phone. Ha ha ha. But it also demonstrates the power that technology has, because he's just sitting at home. And he's like, okay, well, I can't, I'm stuck here, I'm in quarantine, but I got my phone. Let me just throw out a little album. Hee hee.
And it sounds great. I mean, for your average, ordinary listener that's just, you know, put it on a pair of AirPods or whatever.
Yeah, you're not going to notice great. It. If you put on, like, a really nice pair of headphones, the sound is very, like, crunchy and lo-fi. And, like, I mean, even the album cover is, like, a grainy picture of a CD.
Yeah.
You know, like, everything about it is giving homemade mixtape. A marquesina, if you will.
Yeah. And that works so well, though, with the genre that he's going for. And in the last episode, I mean, we were talking about how Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana was calling back to those, you know, marquesina parties.
Yeah, and paying tribute. Yeah. To the genre, to the art that comes out of that. And I think he's, you know, he's carrying that over into this. And it just so happened that the pandemic gave him the perfect opportunity to be able to pull that off.
Yeah. And even if the production is a little crunchier than it was in Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana, it's honestly still better than some of, like, the OG reggaeton songs, you know, just because they were made in a different era. When you hear them, they don't sound as crisp as songs nowadays.
No, they really don't.
So even at their worst, they still sound better. In terms of audio quality, they still sound better than some of those older songs.
True. And with this album, he's really pulling reggaeton into the mainstream. He's reshaping the genre around his sound and really pulling people towards him and what he decides goes, as opposed to sort of bending to what people think it is. And the fact that we are consistently seeing him chart in the way that he does, like, really proves that perreo as a genre has so much merit and artistic value that I don't think we have seen before, not in this way.
Yeah, fair. At least, not before Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana, for sure.
Right.
And this is just sort of an extension of that.
Right. And not to say that it isn't a legitimate genre, but the fact that he suddenly has all eyes on him and he's doing exactly whatever the heck it is that he wants is very telling.
He keeps telling us that, and somehow we're still surprised every time he says it.
Yeah, I'm like, at some point, we just have to listen.
Yeah. So going back to how this album came together, it was a real quick turnaround from the last album, and Benito put it together even more quickly. The whole thing came together in 2 days, supposedly.
Which is wild, because Oasis was 2 weeks?
Yeah, and I thought that was really fast.
And this is 2 days? I mean, okay, so, like, the tracks were pre-existing, and, you know, okay, he, like, sent them out to his collaborators.
But considering how many features there are on this album, to get all of their input in 2 days?
And there, yeah, there's a lot of folks working on this.
Big names.
Yeah, well, okay, famously not on it, Anuel, who was supposed to be, rumor has it, on Bendiciones, and it didn't work out. Maybe someday we'll see that version, but Anuel aside, he's got so many collaborators on this album. He's got Zion y Lennox. Some pioneers of the modern reggaeton genre, going back to, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah. He was quoting them in the last album, and now they're on this album.
Right. Yandel. Ella es la que me encanta.
Ella es la que me levanta. Also being quoted in the last album.
Right. Famously, half of the iconic duo Wisin y Yandel. Another one of the pioneers of the genre. And it's kind of fun because, like, that song sort of, like, shouts out a Wisin y Yandel song, Rakata. Yo la conocí bailando, perreando Rakata. Which is
iconic.
So iconic. Hearing that song live was Rakata. It's fun. I mean, he's here, he's paying homage to the big dogs in the industry. And, oh my god, Don Omar. Who he low-key pulled out from retirement from this song. I mean, Don Omar was just, like, chilling, hanging out.
He was on the DL.
Yeah, yeah. And Don Omar teased way back in, like, 2018... that he was working on a song with Bad Bunny, and then nothing came out, so everyone just thought it was scrapped. But then during the Instagram Live, Benito said that it hadn't come out because Don Omar was slacking on it, and then this came out. Which, I mean, okay, it's really interesting if you get into, like, the Don Omar of it all, because he is widely regarded as the king of reggaeton, like, by both fans and critics, but he's also got this, like, long storied feud in quotation marks, mm-hmm. with Daddy Yankee, who disagrees, and he's like, no, I'm the king of reggaeton. It's not for me to say who is. And I mean, you know,
I mean, I have an opinion, but
oh, of course, of course. I'll keep it to myself for the sake of politics. But they, and, you know, okay, they resolved it. They, like, toured together. It was, like, a whole marketing moment. But Bad Bunny refers to Don Omar as the king in Pa Romperla, and he references his song La Batidora with Y Dale No Sea Tímida Rompe Abusadora. So, I think it's kind of cute that he has this really strong relationship with both Don Omar and DY, who we saw on Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana, because they both walked so Bad Bunny could run.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not to parse hairs, but certainly one of those names is known throughout the world.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think Don Omar has certain songs that if you played them anywhere, people would, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe they don't know Don Omar, the name.
True.
But they know the sound, and they know the words to his songs.
Absolutely.
Like, cool. Do you know who sings the Cupid Shuffle?
You got me there.
Yeah, exactly. But do you know all the words to that song?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's like four. I think it's similar with Don Omar.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, Hasta Que Salga El Sol, iconic. Danza Kuduro, oh my god, people throw down for that.
Yeah. But anyways, Bad Bunny is making references to both of them. He's paying homage to both of them. At least right now, I think he could do more of that in his later careers. But,
Yeah, I have no qualms with saying that. I don't think Bad Bunny respects Daddy Yankee enough. But, a ver qué sale. No sé. I'm gonna keep my tinfoil hat opinions closer to the vest. And, okay, who else? He's got Nicky Jam on this, who, I mean, he has quite the storied history within the genre. Like, he was famously plucked from obscurity as a teen by Daddy Yankee, like, handpicked. And together they formed the ill-fated Los Cangris, which fell apart after Nicky Jam's drug problem got the better of him. But
it's rough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, okay, luckily he turned it around after spending some time in Medellin, and he rebuilt himself into the figure that he is today, you know, the producer, the songwriter, the rapper, the reggaetonero. And he very often collabs with Daddy Yankee, with Balvin, Ozuna, and Anuel.
I think it'd be very interesting to do a deep dive sometime in the future about DY and how he forecasts Perreo, because, I mean, he picked out Nicky Jam, but also he was doing interviews in, like, 2017 where he was saying the next big thing in this category, Bad Bunny, this yeah. little kid named Benito.
No, I think Daddy Yankee is a fascinating figure, and look, that man does not age. Oh. He is proof.
He is a fine, fine wine.
Proof that brown does not break down.
Anyways.
I mean, as we're talking about him, Bad Con Nicky, the song with Nicky Jam, samples Daddy Yankee's Donde Mi No Venga, which was a huge, huge track in reggaeton's history from the album Playero 37. So he's really, like, demonstrating the lineage of the genre through both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, he's calling out to reggaeton's ties from reggae music. I mean, it's not the first time that he's done similar things. I mean, he had a dembow track in Oasis.
Yeah, we've seen this before. This was not surprising. Who else? Oh, he's got Jayco on there, Jay Cortez. Famously one of his pals. He's also a Puerto Rican songwriter with ties to Don Omar and his producer, Eliel. And this is actually their second collaboration. They first collabed in 2019 with No Me Conoce, the remix, with both Bad Bunny and J Balvin. But this song is interesting because it's technically not Bad Bunny's. It's a remix of Jayco's Como Se Siente, which originally came out in January of 2020.
I honestly did not know that before. I did not realize that.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's one of those songs that you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess Bad Bunny wasn't on the original. Like,
it's like when I listen to IME. Like,
poor Neil Garcia.
No,
look, you're right. For me, I admit, I'm sorry.
The Neo version doesn't exist.
Neo, yeah, I'm sorry, baby. That song belongs to J Balvin and Bad Bunny.
And that's how I feel about this song.
Well, okay, so Jayco, we'll see him again on the next two albums. They are frequent collaborators. And he's got several shout-outs on this song to other huge reggaetoneros.
Gata Salvaje, Yo Soy Tu Bambino. Gata Salvaje, Yo Soy Tu Bambino. Referencing Hector el Father and Tito el Bambino, Gata Salvaje. And there's also another reference to Hector el Father with Héctor para el tiempo y lo anormales. Héctor para el tiempo y lo anormales. Referencing a different album of his, Los Anormales.
No, he's got shoutouts to Eddie Avila's iconic reggaeton album, El Diario. Y eso pasa, no sale como el diario de Didi. And Don Omar, Dale Don Dale, which I think we've seen before. Don, cuando
decía dale. Probably. We've definitely seen Eddie D before.
Right. I mean, you know, okay, so we're continuing this theme of paying homage to those who have come before.
Yeah. Also Tito Puente.
Tito Puente, yes, of course.
And then in another song, Ronca Freestyle with Mike Towers, Bad Bunny shouts out himself as...
As one does when you're at the top of your game.
And he does an interpolation of his song El Chapo, which was like way back from his SoundCloud days.
TBT.
I'm not even sure you can find that song online anymore.
You would have to like really deep
Google. Dig deep, yeah. But the original line was, que los shots de tequila me lo sirvan dentro de un Grammy. Que los shots de tequila me lo sirvan dentro de un Grammy. And then in Ronca Freestyle he says, ahora me doy los shots de tequila en el Grammy. Ahora me doy los shots de
tequila en el Grammy. He made it.
He did it. He won the Grammy. And he could pour his bottle of tequila in there.
And I think the last collaborator is famously Gabriela. Yo que te quería ver, pero no se va a poder. Gabriela Berlinghi, his now ex-girlfriend, depending on who you ask. Who famously shot the photos of him in his first Rolling Stone cover. And God was,
bless.
Yeah, she was like also the first Latina photographer, I think, if I remember I correctly. Think so. Which is wild to me because Rolling Stone has been around for so long. Well, but
racism.
Yeah, well.
But here like we she are. Literally shot those on her iPhone.
This whole. This whole podcast.
Look,
we're just here to shout out Apple technology.
Look, I give thanks for that Rolling Stone
article. Oh, I love it. It's iconic.
Bad Bunny sees the world through heart-shaped lenses.
I mean, for those of you who don't know us in person, Carolyn has the heart-shaped lenses tattooed on her.
I love that photo shoot.
That's her Bad Bunny tattoo. Mine is yet to be revealed.
Next album. But she's also... This is not the last that we're going to see of Gabriela. She sings in this album, and she takes his photos, and, you know, she's a big part of, like, the marketing of this album. But we're also going to see her again in Un Verano Sin Ti.
Okay, so he's got several artistic collaborators as features on the songs, but he also has a bevy of producers working on this album. I mean, we can just go in order. So he's got Ronnie J on Si Ella Sale, who's an American producer, rapper, singer, and songwriter. And he has worked with a bevy of artists. He's worked with Juice WRLD and both Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem, Bad Baby, Iggy Azalea. So we're sort of seeing the direction that he's heading in, I think, musically.
Yeah. And hearing those names, it makes sense for this song. This song is a little bit more kind of, it leans more heavily on the rap.
Yes. And of course, we've got El Maestro Tainy coming back. He's got him on Más de una cita, Pa romperla, and the Como se siente remix. And as we know, that is Bad Bunny's right hand man. And Tainy, he previewed Más de una cita on his Instagram before, so people kind of knew that he was gonna have a song on here. And when you have a Bad Bunny album, how can you not have Tainy on it?
The day that we don't,
that's gonna be a dark day. I'm scared. I don't wanna see that day. He's got Subeloneo again on By Me Fui, who was instrumental on Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana. He did Si Veo A Tu Mamá, La Difícil, Pero Ya No, Bichillal, Solia, Vete, 25-8, Puesto Pa Guerrial.
So many.
And, you know, they're the duo, Freddy Montalvo Jr. and Jose Cruz, that we talked about in the last album. He's got Nesty, the longtime producer of Wisin y Yandel, of course, on Canción con Yandel, who was also the producer of Bichillal on Yo Hago. And Tainy and Jayco together Ampa Romperla, an iconic duo. We see Chris Jedi return, who was the lead producer on La Zona, along with Gabby Music. They do Bad Con Nicki and Bendiciones, which makes complete sense because, you know, they work with Gabby Music and Dímelo Flow, who very often work with Nicki Jam. On the Ronca Freestyle, which is a little bit different from the other songs, he's got Misael de la Cruz and Kyle Stemberger.
Those are some new names.
Those are some new names. Stemberger is an American producer with ties to Lil Wayne, Lil Baby, and Trippie Redd. The latter of whom has played around with the pop-punk sound of it all, you know, with Machine Gun Kelly on Tickets to My Downfall, that also came out in 2020, and then later on his own album, Pegasus, Neon Shark versus Pegasus, presented by Travis Barker. That's the title.
It's given High School Musical, the musical, the series.
It really is. So I think, at least for that song, we're really, like, we're seeing him, like, really winking at this exploration of pop punk and giving us a little teasy taste of what's to come.
Is Stemberger a producer on El Último Tour del Mundo?
I don't know. Let me Google. No, he's not, actually.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
But, I mean, you know, we're seeing him start to flex these other muscles and sort of see what else is out there. And then on En Casita, which he just recorded on his iPhone, he's got J.R. Rotem, a South...
Another new name, right?
Yes, another new name. He is a South African-born American producer who, I mean, his work goes all the way back to 2006, starting with Rihanna's S.O.S.
Oof.
But he's worked with, when I say, I mean everyone. He's worked with Rihanna, with Ashley Tisdale on He Said, oh, He Said, She Said. Oh, the Cheetah Girls, Fuego, Big Time Rush, Vanessa Hudgens' Sneaker Night, Jason Derulo, Whatcha Say.
So the Disney, Disney's got him on call.
a little bit. But Jason Derulo, Whatcha Say, In My Head, Riding Solo, so all of his big hits. He's worked with Nicki Minaj, Machine Gun Kelly, Maroon 5, Meghan Trainor, Fifth Harmony, Gwen Stefani, Weezer. Like, I could go on and on and on. He is very prolific.
Okay, so you having said all that, I have three thoughts.
Okay.
The first one is that Mora is no longer that special because now Jayco has also sung on a song with Finito and produced a song.
You're right.
Because before, Mora was the only one that had done that. Now it's Mora and Jayco.
Okay, you're right.
My second thought is, we're seeing Bad Bunny work with a lot of punk producers, even though they're not necessarily going to be on El Último Tour del Mundo.
Right.
But we know that he already has that planned out. And I kind of wonder if he's already recorded some of it at this point. I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll really dig into that in the next episode, but I wonder how much of it was done in advance.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is the perfect example of being able to see what is down the line for
him. Oh, he knows.
Yeah.
And he knows that it's coming out in 7 months at this point.
Right. I mean, we don't know. We haven't done the research for the next episode yet. But it's very possible that he's got some stuff already set to go. And he's already, like, he's like, ah, I got the next era sorted out.
It is giving, like, Taylor Easter eggs, though, if you go down and look at the list of producers on this.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you put on your, like, if you go back to 2020 and look at this list of producers and put on your tinfoil hat and say, look at who Bad Bunny's working with.
Well, I think it's a combination of who he's working with and the sounds that he's playing around with. You kind of start to figure that, okay, he's paid homage to the reggaeton greats, and, you know, he made this album that, you know, looked at the foundations, but rather than going all the way back there, he sort of pulled it toward today's sound, and he's like, okay, well, I already did that. Yeah. What can I do next? Where can I go?
When El Último Tour del Mundo came out, it was a little bit of a surprise, because it was such a...
It was a departure.
It was such from a departure. It was such a genre shift. But looking back, it's like all the little seeds were there.
Yeah. And I think the same thing for Un Verano Sin Ti.
Yeah.
The idea was always there.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not you've paid attention.
Yeah, that's true. And I was not paying attention, clearly.
Not until now.
My third thought is that I feel like a Machine Gun Kelly Bad Bunny collab is sitting in our laps right here.
It feels imminent. They just did the Forbes 30 Under 30.
They worked with a lot of the same people.
They work with a lot of the same people. They can't have not met. There's no way.
No, they have met for sure, factually. At the Forbes thing,
I just need Kells to be like, hey man, let's just throw down a track sometime. Yeah, look, I would die.
That would be, well.
On a pop, especially if Kells continues his pop punk journey, it would be groundbreaking.
Well, it wouldn't be the first thing we've manifested on this podcast, so. So there's only two singles from this album.
Right. Well, it's also only 8 songs.
Yeah, it's very short.
How much can you possibly pull? But En Casita, which was recorded at home during quarantine in the middle of the pandemic, was the album's lead single and released exclusively on SoundCloud in early April. So he went back to his roots for that one.
Yeah, really throwing it back to his roots. It's also an interesting choice of single because if you put yourself back in April 2020, this absolutely sounds like it could just be a one-off COVID song.
Yes, absolutely. You're listening to it and you're like, the sounds of the early pandemic.
Yeah.
Every time I listen to it, I'm like, yep, I remember that.
Yes, it's, yeah.
As much, and then my brain promptly, trauma response, like, shuts it off. They're like, oh, okay, that was nice. Bloop, goodbye.
Yeah, but it's very much of that era, and it's not, it doesn't really hint at the larger project that came out.
No, it's very much entertainment, as our Lord and Savior Bad Bunny intended it to be.
Yeah. And the second single, which is the Como Se Siente remix, also, Como Se Siente had already come out. It's not unusual to see a remix drop.
No. So, especially not for these guys.
Yeah, both of them very much feel like they could have been standalone singles, and not have, tied to an album.
Right, right. Well, and I think this album is a little bit of a special unicorn. It's a compilation album, so I don't really think it's meant to have a through line. Like, in terms of the sequencing, it's not really tied together in any specific way. No. And I'm kind of fine with that.
The only change that I would make is to move Bendiciones closer to the end.
Interesting.
Maybe like before En Casita.
Oh. Okay, see, I love ending on Ronca Freestyle. It's the little like, here's a reminder of where we are.
Oh, yeah, but like, that's fair.
Because Ronca Freestyle feels like that's your 11 o'clock number.
I would like to make it the 10:30 o'clock number.
No, I liked it because it's like a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek for him. Like a look at what I can do moment. And then, you know, he closes with his like, you know, hearkening back to his SoundCloud days. But we so rarely get him just shouting at the mic with lyrics in the way that only he can do that. Ronca Freestyle is just really fun.
It is very fun, and it's got some really great lyrics. I like the farewellness of Bendiciones, like, you know, he's saying, Bendiciones a todo el mundo.
God bless you, my children.
Yeah, it's like, here are some songs, now God bless you, go have fun in your casita.
So his previous albums were I think much more like big planned out productions, and this one is very fast, loose, gritty. So I don't know that the sequencing necessarily matters.
No, I agree. As much. I don't think it matters that much.
He's got his cake. This is just the glitter sprinkles on top.
Yeah. No, at the end of the day, I agree. I do really like Si Ella Sale as the opening song, though. I think it's kind of.
It's
like,
cute.
Funny.
It's a nod. You're like, oh, you're like, las que no iban a salir.
Si ella sale.
If she comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cute. It's funny. I agree with you. I don't think it matters that much, but there are little touches of intentional placement that you can see in it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that would happen with anything. I don't think he was just gonna be like, here are 8 songs, put it out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, agreed. So, going into the songs a little bit, as you mentioned, there are only 8 of them. This is a very short album.
It's very quick. Yeah, this is a very short album. It's only 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's super short. Super bite-sized. And given that it's sort of this extension of Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana, a lot of the themes carry over.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, very naturally.
Your favorite religion?
Look, there was a lot of it on Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana, and there is a bit of it in this album also. Más de una cita says, sé que te gusta pecar, ya me confesé, déjame comulgar. It's just, I don't think of Bad Bunny as a religious man. So when he puts all this in...
Well, I mean, we said it just recently in his cover album with Vanity Fair. He said that, you know, he doesn't really go to church anymore. But he was like, I feel God all around me. So why should I have to be in church when he's got me no matter where I am? Which is a very, I think, millennial, like, spiritual, oh, but absolutely, not necessarily religious mentality. And I think if you grew up in the Catholic Church,
which he clearly did,
as you know, as many Latino folks have and did and do,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to not have that appear in your work sometimes, especially when you get as lyrically creative as he does.
That's true. Because, he's specifically referencing Catholicism. And, like, comulgar, that's... You don't see that in other religions. That's, like, a very specific Catholic
thing. And
it's to take the body of Christ.
Catholicism is so, so embedded in so much of Latino culture. Yeah. It's almost synonymous sometimes.
Yeah. Anyways, other shout-outs to religion... Si eres mi diosa, te hago un culto. Si eres mi diosa, te hago un culto. By Me Fui. Con ella me caso, aunque no sea por lo católico.
Con ella me caso, aunque no sea por lo católico.
Canción con Adele. They're literally referencing Catholicism. Estoy aquí porque Dios tuvo planes conmigo. Yo estoy bendecido.
Estoy aquí porque Dios tuvo planes conmigo.
Bendiciones. Also like the name of that song. La vi en 4 y le di gracias a Dios. La maya una santa, no sé qué, a quién salió. Con la amiga se confiesa, conmigo es que peca.
La vi en 4 y le di gracias a Dios. La maya es una santa, no sé a quién salió.
¿Cómo se siente?
Iconic.
Me mantengo fiel a Dios, por eso es que me premia. Y todo lo que tengo es porque Cristo me lo ha dado. Amén. Que alce la mano el que esté libre de pecado.
Y todo lo que tengo es porque Cristo me lo ha dado. Amén.
Ronca freestyle. Which I think that lyric feels very, like, similar to what you were saying that he said in this Vanity Fair article, which is 3 years after this album.
Yeah. Yeah, the que alce la mano el que esté libre de pecado.
Hey. Que alce la mano el que esté libre de pecado.
Raise your hand, whoever is, like, free of sin. I love that.
There's not a hand in the air.
No, not a singular hand.
It's very smart.
No, it is.
It's incredibly smart.
It absolutely is.
No, I think that line in particular is so smart because this genre is so closely associated with sin and pecado. I mean, so much of it is about drinking and smoking and having sex and like not having sex as in like a man and a woman have sex to have a baby. It's like promiscuous. For the fun of it.
Yeah.
It's all about that. Like, that's what you think of when you think of this genre.
No, but it's like, I mean, it's sort of turning it on its head.
Yeah, he's calling out the hypocrisy of literally everybody else because like nobody else is free of sin. All the perfect Christians and Catholics supposedly out there, they're not going to be putting their hands up either that they're free of sin. So I think it's very clever because he's saying you think it's just us because we're singing the way that we're singing, but it's everybody else also. I love a good religious critique.
I know you do. he's also got his politically outspoken statements lyrically on this album as well, as we know to expect from him.
Yeah. Most notably in Bendiciones and En Casita.
Right. On Bendiciones, he says, me estoy cuidando del virus y de los envidiosos. Yo sigo siendo el mismo, no me llevo con famosos. Que Dios proteja a los niños y a los mayores, a la enferma y los doctores, a Puerto Rico de huracanes y temblores. Yo tengo fe que vendrá días mejores.
Que Dios proteja a los niños y a los mayores, a las enfermeras y los doctores, a Puerto Rico de huracanes y temblores. Yo tengo fe de que vendrán días mejores.
So he's like, I'm curing myself not only of the virus, but of fame, which I think is itself a little bit its own disease.
I mean, if you watch any of the music videos from Oasis, you know that this man was masking up way before 2020.
That's true. He was masking before it was cool or mandated. But
he's saying, may God protect kids and older people and the nurses and the doctors.
And Puerto Rico, because, you know, we're seeing Puerto Rico after several natural disasters struggling to recover.
And then on top of that, you put this pandemic.
You know, they're already on their knees and nobody is doing anything for it. So you have Bad Bunny, you have so many of the artists coming out of Puerto Rico having to resort to fundraising on their own.
Yeah. I bet the houses still have the toldo at this point.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
He also, in Casita, mentions the ousted governor that he was talking about in Puesto Padre Real on the last album. And he says, quiero que el virus se vaya como Rosello.
Quiero que el virus se vaya como Rosello.
He wants the virus gone.
Yeah.
Just like the governor.
Me too. In 2023.
Yeah.
I want it gone.
Same.
He's also got two shout-outs to Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana in this album. In Ronca Freestyle, he says, yo hago lo que me da la gana.
Yo hago lo que me da la gana.
So,
you have it.
Very direct. And in Cancita, he has a little section where he goes into esta cabrón ser yo.
Hey, esta cabrón, esta cabrón, esta cabrón ser yo.
Oh,
my favorite.
Yeah, your absolute bestest, number one, most played.
The joy that brings to my ear.
When you were playing it the other day, I was like, are you on Wiz? Like, what is going
stuck in my head.
It's an earworm.
Got nothing in my brain.
But está cabrón serio.
Yeah. So, we've talked a little bit about the different songs on this album and sequencing and the collaborators. How do you feel about the title of the album?
I think it's fine. It's a compilation album. Like, none of these songs were supposed to come out. He just sort of felt bad for everybody and was bored. So I think it makes sense.
I don't know how much I trust that, though. Like, was Bad Con Nicki never really gonna see the world?
I think he could have put it on something else.
Yeah, that's my thought. I don't think they were not gonna sell it.
But, okay, I think he also could have gone with En Casita as the title, because this is edición casera, you know, like, this was made at home.
Yeah, that would have been really cute.
It would have been cute, yeah, exactly. But, las que no iban a salir. Alright, clever.
Yeah.
Pat yourself on the back. You could keep it, it's fine. Very few, not no notes, but very few notes.
I think my note on las que no iban a salir would be that I'd want it to be stylized as LQNIAS. You know,
you wanted it to follow the Big Brother album.
Yes,
this is very much Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana's scrappy little brother.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my only note.
Well,
but it's fine.
You tell Stills when you see him.
So what's the biggest song on this album?
I think it's Como Se Siente. Remix.
Como se siente, como se siente. Cuando yo estoy adentro y tú estás al frente.
I mean, they performed it at Coachella together, and I mean, we saw Jayco perform it at Urbana Fest last year, and people love that song.
It's a good song.
It's so good. And
don't Google translate the lyrics.
No, don't do that. Don't pay attention. But like, it's this big, I mean, remixes personally always hit better than the original.
I mean, DY literally put that on a shirt.
I have it, I know.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't think it's a surprise that this collab with Jayco and Bad Bunny together was gonna be the fan favorite.
Yeah. No, agreed. It's a fun party song. It's a good distraction.
Yeah. It's entertainment.
So what do you think is the best song on the album? And actually, I mean, I really don't have to ask you that. I already know what you think is the best song and what I think is the best song.
No.
Wait, are you gonna pull
okay,
are you gonna pull the wool over my eyes?
This one was hard for me because my heart says Canción con Yandel, and that is like, if I had to pick a Bad Bunny song that was like my favorite, it's Canción con Yandel.
But you're not gonna say that. I am so shook right now. I am as shook as I was when I found out that Emerald Fennell wrote that Cinderella. If you could see my face.
So Bad con Nicki.
Whoa.
Delivers this sonic change up that he is so good at. Yo la hago sentir lo que no sintió contigo. Dile que no te llame más y no vuelva a joder. Ese Nicki Jam va a poner de mover. He's so good at. But also, para romperla is underrated. Like, to bring Don Omar, who was retired, he was chillaxing on a beach at that point, was like such a huge treat for the fans of the genre. And again, that sound and like the change up in the like beat is what makes his songs so delicious. Like, look at Safaera. Like, that is the song.
Yeah, you want to slurp it right up.
And those two, I would say, are as close as you get to Safaera. So, for those reasons,
you're putting two songs above Canción con Yandel.
Look, Canción con Yandel, unparalleled for me in my heart.
Wow.
But I think, on paper, I gotta go with those two.
That's okay. I am shook. Bad con Nicki, I think it's a really great song, but I mean, I'm picking Canción con Yandel because I think the other side of that is that on paper, the lyricism of Canción con Yandel
unparalleled. That's like my, okay.
Bad con Nicki musically has all the change-ups, but the lyrics are doing nothing. I'm serious. There are like 8 words to that song.
Yeah, it was so hard for me. Because I love Canción con Yandel. That is, I think if it's not that verse, then it's the first verse on Callaita that's like my favorite. But yeah, it was hard. And I like, nobody ever listens to Canción con Yandel. No. They don't play it at the club, like, they don't do any of that. It's the redheaded stepchild of Bad Bunny songs.
It's absolutely not.
It's a deep cut. It really is.
It's not even close to being one of his biggest songs.
I feel a little pretentious when somebody's like, what's your favorite song? I'm like, you don't know it.
You know, though, when I was reading reviews for this album, all of them shouted out Canción con Yandel.
Interesting.
Not okay. A single one didn't shout out that song. I didn't read every single review, okay? I'm sure there are some that didn't shout it out, but like all the major ones, with the exception of Rolling Stone, because I don't have a subscription to that, all the major ones shouted out Canción con Yandel for its lyricism.
That verse is unparalleled.
Interesting. I am so surprised at you, Sarah.
Well, you didn't ask me what the best lyric was, so...
Well, yeah, we're getting there. But before we get there, what song would you cut? Last time we had a short album, you were like, I'm not doing this, Mom!
No, I'm ready. Okay. I think Como Se Siente could have just been a single.
Huh. That's fair. Yeah, it could have been. Absolutely.
And, like, again, it's rough. It would be rough to cut anything because it's so concise. It's only 10 songs. How can you cut anything? It's only, if you cut a song, it's gonna be 25 minutes. Well, that's barely an album.
Well,
a little playlist.
I'm cutting CASLE.
Oh!
I like it as an opener, but it's just the weakest song on the album, in my opinion. It's just not...
It's meh.
All
right, well, I hope nobody comes for you for that.
Is it a fan favorite?
I don't know.
If you want, Benito, you could give us a 6 to 8 minute version of Canción con Yandel to make up for those last minutes.
There is nothing that will ever console me from the fact... Well, two things. There are two truths in my life, I think. One is that I will never see Selena perform. Ever. Because she died before I was born.
I was like, perform what song? Yeah, I'm an idiot. Okay.
And two...
No songs, ever.
Is that I will probably never see Canción con Yandel live.
The way when we went to go see Wisin y Yandel, that I was trying to telepathically communicate with them.
Please, do Canción con Yandel. Please.
Wisin could have done the Bad Bunny verse.
Oh my god, I would have died. I would have simply passed away.
Didn't happen.
No, I know. They did a bunch of other stuff. They were out there acting like Matios, but okay.
It's just one of the sad facts. Woo!
Okay, what is...
This is the most differing opinions I feel like we've had.
Yeah.
Well.
Eh. Okay, what is the most Bad Bunny moment for you?
Like the entirety of Ronca Freestyle. The swagger,
yeah.
The self-aggrandizement.
Yeah, that's what I had. Like I said, we don't get him just yelling at the mic very often and playing with words the way that he does.
Yeah.
And, like, especially on that song, he's really bragging about what he's done for the genre. He literally says that if it weren't for him, the genre would be monotonous. And, I'd have to be hard-pressed to disagree. We're 4 albums in, we've seen his trajectory and the way that he keeps listeners on their toes. Like, he's impossible to keep in a single box. And I think that's what keeps him on top. Plus, I also really love the line when he's like, El conejo es la verdadera pandemia. No hables de mí, cabrón, que eso es blasfemia. El conejo la verdadera pandemia. No hables mal de mí, cabrón, que eso es blasfemia. He's like...
Oh, I forgot that in my religious references.
Oh, there you go. See? So he's like, Bad Bunny is the pandemic. Like, don't you dare talk bad about me. That's blasphemy.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, best lyric?
I have a couple.
Oh, no!
Okay, I have some contenders for best lyric. I also have one for most tragic lyric.
Most tragic?
Yes. And it is... Quizá que Pisces no mezcla con Capricornio. Quizá que Pisces no mezcla con
Capricornio. Well, that's just personal.
That is the most tragic line Bad Bunny has ever uttered.
Why? Tell the people why.
Because Bad Bunny is a sad boy Pisces. And I am a strong-willed Capricorn. And apparently Bad Bunny's saying that they don't mix.
Oh no, the kiss of death.
Look, I have read star charts, okay?
You're like, I could fix him?
Look, no, I know. I know that Pisces and Capricorns don't mix, okay?
But you're gonna make it work?
I have read it on star charts. I've experienced it personally. But yeah, I'm gonna make it work. I was gonna make it work. Until Bad Bunny shot me down. I never even met the man, and he already rejected me.
Maybe don't tell him when your birthday is. Just lie. Lie a little bit for a minute. She doesn't have to know. Be like, oh, yeah, you know my birthday is a day.
Yeah, young, you're right. Finally, at 20 years old, I'm gonna get a fake ID.
Okay, what was your other lyric?
Well, I think it's obvious.
Is it Canción con Yandel?
Yeah.
Yep.
Ella es la que está conmigo a pesar de mi desbalance psicológico.
La que está conmigo sin importar lo económico. La que se ríe de mi chiste aunque no sea cómico. La única que saca mi lado romántico. Con ella me casó a no sea por lo católico.
I feel like I'm like in church, like praying.
Ella
es la que está conmigo a pesar de mi desbalance psicológico. La que está conmigo sin importar lo económico.
No, I, that verse, everything. From La conocí bailando, perreando racata, all the way to ese booty en cuatro, fire.
See, I picked a short little piece of it.
No, no, it's the whole verse or nothing.
Well, I mean, it's great.
I think that is a contender for my Vecna song.
It's so, I mean, the lyricism, everybody just needs to go freaking listen to that song.
Yeah. If you don't listen to Canción con Yandel once a day,
I can't put that whole song into this podcast or we'll get sued. So you just need to go listen to it.
We can't force you to listen to it, yeah. But you should.
You should. Other contenders, I really, from Cómo Se Siente, y a ti que te sobran las opciones, y a mí que me sobran los condones.
Okay.
Y a ti que te sobran las opciones, y a mí que me sobran los condones.
It's funny.
It is. He got jokes.
He does got jokes. I also like, by Me Fui, the like, estoy cansada de solo ser por si acaso. Dile adiós a tu mejor opción. Y tú que siempre quería un amor de fantasía como lo unicornio.
Y ya me cansé de solo ser por si acaso. Un por si acaso.
It's a very classic sad boy Benito.
Yeah. Heartbreak Prince.
Yeah. What about you, Sarah?
No, I mean, Canción con Yandel. That's it. That's literally, I wrote the entire verse of Canción con Yandel.
Oh, yeah.
Period. Like, that was it. That was all I put in that box.
No, I mean, that one's the best.
It really is. And nobody ever plays it. It's fine. Although, that's a lie. We did request it one time when we were at a Bad Bunny night. And we DM'd the DJ.
And they played it. And everybody else looked so confused.
They were like, oh, this is a deep cut. And we were the weirdos.
La conocí bailando, perreando racata.
Oh, yeah. No, we must have looked like we were on something.
I switched those words, but you know what I meant.
All right. To bring it home.
What album do I give this grade?
What album do you give this grade? What grade do you give this album?
A B+.
Oh.
What about you?
I gave it a B.
Oh. I think it's the first time I go higher than you.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's his best work. I think he's got some really solid stuff in here. Like, if I was grading the essay, I'd be like, great, you're hitting some really major plot points, and you've got your analysis in there. But we're never really being truly, truly dazzled.
That's a lie. And you know it.
I love Canción con Yandel.
It's not dazzling you? You're not being truly dazzled by that song? Because that's your favorite Bad Bunny song, and if you're not being dazzled by that...
I wouldn't say it's dazzled, though. I think it's special in a different way. Like, that's the part that really pushed it up to a B for me.
I think... Well, I'm not grading this as a novel. I'm grading it as a short story.
Okay.
Well, because I don't think this wasn't put out there to be an album with a capital A.
Okay.
It's a compilation album. I think Oasis... I was a little more critical of that because it was sort of presented as this, like, piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is kind of presented as, like, a ragtag group of songs.
Right, I feel like he did this, maybe not the night before, which, like, is not to say that you can't still do some good work when you, like, cram for the exam.
Yeah.
But it just lacked the full breadth
But he's presenting it as such.
Right.
Which is why...
Is giving honor student.
I mean, I guess... I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess if I'm really just grading it as a tiny little compilation album that's like a fun willy-nilly project, I feel like it could go up to like an A-. Mm. If I was grading it as an album TM...
Are we not?
Well...
You gotta pick a letter.
I'm just sticking with B+.
It's just a letter. Okay. And with that, I think we gotta sign off. We'll catch you guys next week for El Último Tour del Mundo.
Sadly, another pandemic album.
I know. But it was around the holidays, so it was a very different vibe. We gotta...
Todavía estaba en casita.
That's true. We gotta break out our trucker hats and our rock star jeans.
Oh, they're ready. They are ready. Ciao, y'all. I think we gotta close out this episode with a song.
Yo la conocí bailando, perrando ragata. Bien suelta de sacata. Me las sé todas was brought to you by
another mediocre artistic endeavor.
This has been a Sarah Lynn production. If you feel so inclined, please rate, review, and subscribe. Bye!
Bye.